Hi, this is Jimmy Clanton, and you are listening to my good friend Mike Miller on the Harmony Street Show.
Hi, everybody, this is your cousin Brucey, and you're listening to my good friend, my cousin Mike Miller, right here on the Harmony Street Radio Show.
Hi, this is Jimmy Beaumont from the Skyliners, and you're listening to Mike Miller on the Harmony Street Show.
Hi, this is Herb Cox of the Cleftones, and you're listening to my good buddy Mike Miller on the Harmony Street Show.
This is Zoe Kane.
And Marty Sanders.
Hi, I'm Jay.
And I'm Sandy.
From Jay and the Americans.
And you're listening to Mike Miller on the Harmony Street Show.
Yes, it's over. No more balcony scene. No more dancing.
No, no.
Where the gang always meets. It's so hard to laugh, so easy to cry, now that we've said goodbye. Yes, it's over. No more curfew to break, no more memories,
no, no,
we must hurry and make. It's so hard to laugh, so easy to cry, now that we've said goodbye. Dreams won't die, though you go away. Falling star, my smiling days are over and beyond all recall. Just a lot of no more, nothing at all. It's so hard to laugh, so easy to cry, now that we've said goodbye. Dreams won't die, though you go away. I'll be loving you wherever you are. Maybe I'm going to make you stay. But it's mighty hard to cling to the falling star. My smiling days are over and beyond all recall. Just a lot of no more, nothing at all. It's so hard to laugh, so easy to cry, now that we've said goodbye. Now that we have said goodbye. Treat me like a fool, treat me mean and cruel, but love me. Break my faithful heart, tear it all apart, but love me.
Won't you love me?
Well, if you ever go, darling, I'd be oh so lonely. I'll be sad and blue, crying over you, dear only.
Ooh.
I would beg and steal,
beg and steal,
just to feel,
just to feel
your heart.
I want your heart
beating close to mine,
so close to mine.
Well, if you ever go, darling, I'd be oh so lonely. I'll be sad and blue, crying
beg and steal.
He would beg and steal.
Just to feel.
Just to feel.
Your heart.
I want your heart.
Beating close to mine.
So close to mine.
Well, if you ever go, darling, I'd be oh so lonely. Begging on my knees, all I ask is please, please love me. Oh yeah.
Hi, this is Mike Miller, and you're here with me on the Harmony Street Show, and it's my pleasure to have as my guest a very, very talented guy from New Jersey, where, by the way, a lot of talent was born. His name is Dennis Daugherty Jr., and he has a fabulous CD out, and it's called Records Were Meant to Be Played. How you doing, Dennis?
I'm doing okay, Mike. I appreciate the kind words. It's good to be on the show.
Absolutely. Now, your father was very close to the doo-wop music, and your father and I have had many discussions about the music. Did you listen to music in the house when you were a kid?
Sure, yeah. I listened to a lot of different things in the house and especially in the car. I seem to have a lot of good memories of being in the car when I was a kid and, you know, listening to CBS FM was the station up here, you know, still around, but they, you know, they were a little different back then, and definitely that was what I was kind of raised on, you know.
Hi, everybody. You're listening to Mike Miller, my good friend, on the Harmony Street Show. Oh, by the way, this is Don K. Reed. Remember from the doo-wop shop?
Right. You know, I do understand that, you know, and of course, exactly the way it was with my father when he was listening to very, very pop music, my ear as a young kid on those Sunday drives was finding the R&B stuff. And even that, even when I was 8 and 9 years old, and I grew up knowing all the words to the Harptones tunes and the Flamingos tunes, and I didn't know why. But then I realized that, you know, that was just my taste. Now, I'm assuming that your first taste in music was more in your genre.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The kind of tunes that your peers were listening to. And I understand that your first venture into music certainly wasn't into doo-wop. It was into more of your decade.
Yeah, it was kind of later model stuff, I guess you'd say a little bit. You know, kind of what they call classic rock, late 60s, 70s, and that type of thing. And me and my friends were into stuff that was, you know, before our generation anyway, in the classic rock kind of thing. And it's the kind of music we usually played when we played out in high school and then as I got into college. But the music that I, you know, I was most familiar with growing up was what I call oldies, which is first generation rock and roll. You know, the stuff
right.
About 54, 55 through about 64, 65. And that was something that, you know, even my friends were not really that familiar with. Of course, everybody knows the real famous stuff, but they, you know, it didn't go much beyond like the recognition of a song for most people. Whereas
right.
I was pretty familiar with it. It's the kind of stuff I had in my CD player in my car, or, you know, in my room or whatever, which is a little unique, I guess.
Well, let me ask you this, because, you know, your vocal prowess is quite considerable. When did you first realize that you could get up and sing a good song?
Darling, forever, forever, you can break my heart, take my love if you want to, but I'll play the part of a fool.
take my love if you want to, but I'll always be just a fool,
just a fool,
just to be with you forever. And I'll be your slave for the rest of my days. Love you more than so, so many ways. Just to be with you thrills me through and through. And darling, forever, forever, you can break my heart, take my love if you want to, but I'll play the part of a fool,
just a fool,
just to be with you forever. Darling, forever, forever.
Type of thing that happened gradually. It wasn't like it was like one moment or something like that. Like a lot of people, I always enjoy singing, but kind of when I'm in my car or when I'm alone and there's not a lot of people around, and
right.
I did that quite a bit and really enjoyed it, and it was just the kind of thing where in high school I had some friends that were just kind of messing around, and some people had said to me, man, you really should do that a little more seriously. And I had some friends who were just getting together, a couple of friends who were guitar players, a drummer, a bass player.
Right.
And they said, we're messing around on Saturday afternoon. Let me come by and just, kind of hang out and see what happens. And we did that, we did a couple songs, I think it was like some Jimi Hendrix, some Doors,
right.
And stuff, and it was neat, and everybody, we were 16 years old or whatever at the time, but everybody's like, oh, it's fun, so it kind of went from there, we were pretty not real good at first, but we got some good encouragement from our parents and friends.
Right. Well, it's always a process, and then you have to rely on your parents to buy you some equipment too. So,
yeah.
It's like, then they expect to hear something back.
Yeah. Yeah. You got that right.
They want to hear what their investment is,
Yeah. Yeah. See where it goes, Pay some dividends, but we did some graduation parties and things in kind of the first summer
right.
or so. And kind of went from there, and a lot of basement practices in my house growing up. But my dad certainly didn't mind. He liked it,
Right. So plus, he knew where you were.
Yeah.
Same thing with me growing up. We always had rehearsals at my house, and I couldn't figure it out until I got older. And then I realized my parents knew that I was downstairs, so the noise
that's
was
right.
okay. They knew it. They knew where I was. They knew what I was doing. It was great for them.
It was a win-win situation, right?
Right. Well, let me ask you this. Were you playing an instrument at that time, or were you just singing?
Yeah, just singing. I wish I had learned an instrument as a kid,
right.
looking back on it.
Well,
I really...
when you have that point of reference, because I've been playing guitar since I'm a young kid, too, and, it helps, with the group stuff. Because, you can strip down the chord and you can hear the harmonies and you know what's happening. A lot of times, even with very, very talented guys in groups, you have to give them their parts because they can't hear the chord. Or, a lot of times I've been with big groups where guys sing in a particular part and I'm telling them it's not in the chord. And they're saying, no, this is the way we sang it. No, it's not in the chord. It's discord. And you show them the chord, you know. You show them the triad. Here it is. Bing, bing, bing. And, you know, and you know, here's your note right here, right in the chord. It's a third above the baritone.
Yeah.
You know, and they're going, no. And yet, you know, the guitar doesn't lie.
So. Yeah. That's a good point, Mike. And yeah. You know, that's some of the things where it is helpful, I'm sure, you know, playing an instrument like that where you can do that kind of thing and break things down and then be able to express different things, you know, right. An instrument that maybe you couldn't vocally, but you know, I'm trying to get my kids to learn. My son's 10, my little girl's 6, and
right.
Both of them been playing piano for several years now, and
very cool because it's always with you when you learn it. I mean, you know, whether you take it to you know, grandiose heights or whether you just play it in the living room, it's always there. And you know, music is very soothing, and it's you know, it's always saved my life in tenuous situations. So you know, it's a good thing. So here you are, and you know, you found your music, and you're playing with, you know, your friends, and you're doing sock ops, and you're playing out, whatever. And so where did that lead you musically?
Well, you know, we did that for a while. You know, just thinking back to the kind of the high school years, a couple of the guys, or the guitar player, my friend Eddie was. We went to the same college in Pennsylvania, by a college out by Harrisburg.
Right.
And you know, got together with a couple other guys out there, and over the course of a year or so, started playing and formed a group out there where I was lead singer, and there was a guitar player, bass, and another fellow who did keyboards and did some vocal work too, background
right.
vocals and other stuff. So we played around there in the college area in central PA, and we actually did some recording out in Long Island at that time, where
right.
we had about a half a dozen original songs, again in the classic rock kind of feel to it,
right.
That kind of a genre, or you know, rock. You know, that turned out pretty well. We were very young and not really, knowing too much what we were doing on the business end. We shopped it around to some radio stations and whatnot, locally there, and got some local airplay and won a couple of, you know, call-in contests and those
right.
type of things. It was fun, and we developed a little bit of a following at
right.
school there, and
it's very hard. I mean, you know, even now, even the big groups don't know what to do with a recording. I mean, what are you going to do? Put it on Amazon and iTunes for 99 cents,
yeah.
and watch it grow? I mean, you know, it's the business. Even since you started,
yeah.
has changed so much that a lot of the guys that are in my genre say, why should I record? There's nothing in it. I'd rather just perform, you know. And then there
yeah.
were others that still do it for the sake of creativity, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
the industry's really kind of turned on its ear, especially with all the digital stuff, you know. Point being,
Stan Zyska and the Del Satins are better than ever now, and they just finished the new CD, and Stan just built the new studio in his house. And, you know, they record only because it's in their blood, and they want to stay creative, and I don't
sure.
think they care if they sell a million records. They'll give them out at gigs. They'll give them away, but just to keep that sound alive and to stay creative and to stay viable.
Hi, this is Stan Zyska, original lead singer of the Del Satins, and you're listening to my good friend Mike Miller on the Harmony Street Show. And I'd like to thank you, Mike, for making me the first interview on your show.
You know,
yep.
that
yep.
kind
Which
of
is,
a thing.
Hey, that's I think the best reason to be doing it anyway. You know, of course,
oh, yeah.
it's nice when you can have when you can earn a you know, good living from it, and all that kind of thing. But the love of it is what starts starts with.
Hey,
so.
Very few get to do that. When I was on Long Island, I started when I was 15, and I played every Long Island club that ever existed. You can't name one that I wasn't in. I used to sit backstage with Johnny Maestro sometimes. We would name clubs. First, we'd do Hempstead Turnpike, then we would do Sunrise Highway, from Queens all the way in to you know, the Hamptons. And finally, he would look at me and say, I can't do this. My brain is tired, you know. And it was like, that was it. There was a club on every corner, and we all did that, you know, and it was in our blood early on. And here I am, 66 years old, and I'm still doing it in one way or another, doing the radio thing or out singing once in a while. But it's all about not so much making it big, but I always say it's about that moment when you're in the middle of a song and you're in your zone and you know that you're right in your zone, and you look out and you see the faces of people that are enjoying it back. And that's what it's all about. It's all about that moment. If you haven't experienced it, nobody can understand what you get out of it when you're doing it if they haven't done it themselves.
Sure. Yep. That's a good, well put.
And to me, that's what it is. I don't care if you're doing it in on the green in your town or a small show or a big rock and roll show or in Vegas or whatever. I will say, and I spoke to your father about this, I said, you know, when Harmony Street ended and I moved to Florida, I mean, you know, we were working quite a bit, and then I hooked up with the Mystics, and I spent a bunch of years with them in Florida. And I, you know, I can remember flying out on a Friday afternoon, getting up to Boston, schmoozing around, eating a big dinner, hanging out till late, talking to the other groups, waking up early in the morning, eating a big breakfast, going to sound check all day, doing the show, signing autographs afterwards, not getting to bed till 1-2 in the morning, you know, and eating at like 2 in the morning because you were like, you know, racing. And then you wake up Sunday, you eat the buffet, you say goodbye, you pack your stuff. You don't get home until 4 in the afternoon because the flight was at noon. And so you've given up 3 days, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, to do your 40 minutes. When you're in your 60s and you have another life, it's a lot to do.
Yeah.
And your significant other better understand that. And, you know, a lot of times they don't. They say, hey, listen, I want to relax. Sure. Why are you still chasing your tail?
it's an interesting point, because at different points in your life, I think you're able to do different things, and you know,
right.
The time element is a big piece of it. You know, you asked me about when I was in you know, after high school, what I do. So I did the stuff in college, and then after about a year or so after getting out of college, again, my guitar player friend and I got together, and he had a studio in his house, and
right.
You know, we just started real low key writing stuff and doing some recording, and you know, over the course of a couple of years, we laid down 8 or 10 or 12 original songs,
right,
and started to do some things, but it got to a point where I was starting my business at the time, and
right, well, you have to eat,
start a family at the same time, and had some decisions to make where,
right.
If we did, you know, best case scenario, if we were starting to get some interest by some industry people, you know, at a relatively low level, but things were obviously looking in a direction where we could start to pursue things. And if things did break well, you know, you're going to go out on tour with, as an opening act, maybe for a pretty popular group. But that means you're going to be away from home for 3 or 6 or 9 months or whatever on tour, and, you know, not making a boatload of money or anything, but you got to be able to be in a position where you can just, you know, leave, and then when you come back, maybe pick it up where you left off. And, you know,
right.
I had a retail business I was starting. So I had to make a tough decision to say, you know what, just right now I can't, you know, I took a break from it for about 10 years until the, you know, this whole thing started happening about 5-6 years ago.
Right.
4 or 5 years ago, I guess.
All right, so you had taken a break, and of course you're living your life like a normal person, because guys that get up and sing on a bandstand every weekend are not normal. You and I know that. And so all of a sudden, you know, the lightning struck, and you all of a sudden found yourself singing in the other genre. Tell me how that came about. I'm assuming it had to do with your father.
Yeah, yeah. He had, I forget exactly how it all came about, but he had wanted to do some promoting and do an oldie show.
Right.
And, you know, he had some communications with some of the groups, and
right.
The Fidelities in particular were one of the groups
right.
that were his favorites. The Things I Love was maybe his favorite song, if not in his top three or four, you know, of all time. And
right.
The glowing sunset in the summer skies, the golden flicker of the fireflies, the gleam of love light in your lovely eyes. These are the things I love. To my plea, these are the things I love. Oh, once I thought that night was just too weird to begin. My heart was cold, and then you came to me.
If I remember correctly, I think his whole premise was he wanted to do a tribute to Ronnie I.
Well, I guess if I want to be remembered, it would probably be for giving some of the R&B groups of the early 50s a chance to come back and demonstrate their music and emulate the sound of the early 50s. And we've been doing that about 18 years now. It was wonderful. Great. Every month. I've known a lot of these people for years. People do call me up. And, you know, and we usually bring you here, no matter whether I heard you or not, you know, untested you come. At most of the groups really do well.
That was, yes, it was right around that same time.
Yeah.
So that was probably what he was putting that together. I think that was the first show with that one.
Right.
So he had spoken to those guys, and it was the first time they had sung together in like 30 years or so, and they came together.
Wow.
And they were staying at his house, as a matter of fact.
Uh-huh.
And so I was there and met with the guys and, you know, listened to them rehearse a little bit, and you know, we just were talking and stuff, and at some point, maybe we were playing some of my older music or we were doing a little bit of singing or something, and somebody brought up, hey, you know, you want to do a couple songs with us when we do the gig, you know, on Friday night or Saturday night.
Uh-huh.
And I thought for a minute, and I'm like, hey, why not? You know, what an opportunity that is, you know, to be up on stage with these guys. And
right.
I hadn't sung in front of anybody in probably, I don't know, 8 or 9 years at that point.
Right.
But for sure, familiar with the music and, you know, had stuff that I liked and picked out a few songs, and we spent all of 5 to 10 minutes rehearsing before we came up on stage.
I know the deal.
Like 400 people.
Right.
And, you know, and it was a blast, and people really responded and really liked it a lot. So,
right.
You know, from there, it just kind of, you know, went from there, you know, but it was really neat to be able to do that. And then, you know, like you said, when you see people in the audience that really enjoy it and really, it means something to them and it brings them joy, boy, it makes it that much better. And you're like, okay, this is cool.
Yeah. Well, it gives you the juice to be able to say, hey, you know what? I like that feeling. I want to get that feeling again. You know,
yeah.
That's good stuff. And so, all right. So you were successful at that. And what prompted you to say, hey, you know what? I like that. Let's go into the studio and expand it. How did that come about?
Well, I think after doing it a little while, my dad and I had just talked about the possibility of laying some tracks down, you know, what kind of things would you like to do, and, you know, I had some ideas about some songs that would be fun to do, and just kind of went in that direction. Initially, we were over by Joel Katz, you know.
Right, and of course, Joel, you know, has a reputation in the genre, never really having had a huge hit, but one of the mainstays and one of the backbone people in this industry, and every
yeah.
group that he's ever touched has sounded like gold. So, you know, to have Joel Katz standing behind you and near you is certainly hanging out with good people. You know, it's like when you're a kid, if you want to play basketball, always find guys that are older and taller, and it makes you play better.
Yeah, Joel's a, you know, certainly a great singer and a good guy, and you know, so we had spent some time over there by him, and in a couple of the gigs he was also you know, in the group singing, so
right.
So that was a great experience, you know, and definitely being around him. And
so your father surrounded you with good people right away. In other words, it wasn't yeah. like he, you know, called up 4 friends from the neighborhood and said, "Come on over, back up my son." He actually surrounded you with some very, very experienced people. Let's talk about this CD. It's Records Were Meant to Be Played. I love the title. The title's a great title. But also, as I look down the list of people who were included on this CD, let's first of all talk about Johnny Gale, who was one of the premier guitar players in the genre, premier producers, premier engineers, and has ears, you know, that are really the backbone of the Planetones sound, was the backbone of the Inquisitors arrangements, and all over this CD is the wonderfulness of Johnny Gale in production. So,
yeah. Yeah, his reputation speaks for itself, I think, you know, as far as being, musically backbone of the Planetones
right.
there, and all, you know, he's got so much experience in the music industry
right.
over the years with different genres and whatnot. And, you know, going into this thing, with recording, we really, you know, we had some good conversations with him over a course of a number of months, and we were able to kind of get together and lay some things down and really, right from the start, I think we were on the same page.
Right.
with what we wanted to achieve and where he was coming from, and it just clicked that way, and that was great. And you know, having his wisdom and his expertise, and him knowing what will make something sound good is a great thing.
Right, but I will say that the first time I actually listened to the CD, I was amazed by not just that it was Dennis Daugherty singing each one of these songs as Dennis Daugherty, but what I was amazed at as how you copped the flavor of each song and each group that you went after. And I'm sure you've been told that before, that the insight that you would have as a younger guy in order to be able to really get inside that song and give it what it authentically needed to do authentically is very, very commendable for a guy who didn't grow up in the genre but was, a little bit removed from it, the authenticity of it. And that's what I think makes it a special project.
I really appreciate it, you saying that, and it definitely is something where the songs that are on the record, each one of them is a song that I really enjoy. And
let me ask you this about the CD, all right? Maybe it's a fair question, maybe it's not. What's your favorite tune on this CD?
Well, that is an unfair question. I would say it's hard to say. It kind of depends on mood,
Right.
Any time I listen to records that I like, I don't always have one that's a favorite. It might be just like I get into a certain song and I really like that for a
right.
while. It's a tough one. I happen to really like the sound on My Babe.
Okay.
The harmonica playing on that,
Dennis
Brunling, and just the overall sound of that one. I really dig that kind of a old blues sound. And
my babe, don't stand no cheating, my babe. She don't stand no cheating, my babe. Oh yeah, she don't stand no cheating. She don't stand none of that midnight creeping, my babe. True little baby, my babe. My babe, I know she love me, my babe. But kiss and hug me, my babe. True little baby, my babe. There ain't no cooling, my babe. True little baby.
bringing on home to me, you know, doing that whole Eugene Pitt was great. I love that song.
Well, Eugene is one of my very, very good friends. Eugene and Frank I knew, you know, for oh so many years, even when he lived on Herkimer Street in Brooklyn. He and Frank, and believe it or not, I was years ago on Starlight CD. As a matter of fact, Harmony Street was, I think, the only group ever to record on Starlight with music, not doing a cappella. And I think Frank Pitt had a couple of tunes on there with a group that he had. And Eugene, you know, I've known for years. I'm very close to him. And to have a guy like Eugene, you know, on the CD, you know, it was really a plus. How did you manage to get in touch with Gene?
Well, it's kind of funny. In that first gig, I'm pretty sure it was that first one. Because my dad was you know, putting it on, I was somewhat involved in some of the logistics of it beforehand, and I was... you know, my dad was going over seat layouts and all that kind of stuff. And,
right.
And at one point, I had seen the Jive 5 a couple times in concert, and they were one of my favorite oldies groups, you know, Mike Tristori and What Time Is It.
Yeah, and they do a lot of choreography for a bunch of old guys, so they were always exhausted afterwards.
Yeah. They do the choreography and Gene's voices and his singing style to me was always kind of
the best.
Yeah, it really stood out as the real deal.
Yep.
You know, you talk about feeling in songs and being convincing when you come across with them.
Right.
You know, I definitely seek that out in people that I like to listen to as singers, and he is the epitome of that.
Oh, so. You bet. I'm surprised you didn't do a Eugene tune.
Yeah, well, you know, I figure, you know, in a certain way, I leave that up to him. You know, nobody can do that better than him. But, you know, who knows? I would like to do it at some point one day.
This is Eugene Pitt of the Jive 5, and you're listening to my good friend, Mike Miller, on the Harmony Street Show. I heard your name was Mike. Mike at the mic. And things that I like. Your show is a thriller. So here we go. With Mike Miller.
To me, bring your sweet love.
your father already told me there's going to be another CD. So, I mean, too bad for you. Too bad for you. He's already made up his mind.
Yeah.
That's what he told me.
Yeah. All right.
I don't mind.
But, you know, at that show, somebody had needed a hand getting seated, and lo and behold, it was Gene. And as I'm looking for a place, because I forget what the situation was.
It wasn't the
right amount of seats or whatever it was.
Right.
And you know, he was going to be sitting near the back.
Uh-huh.
And I think he was fine with that. And I recognized him. I'm like, hey, you're Eugene Pitt, right?
Right.
He's like, yeah. And I said, wow, man, I'm a big fan of yours and all that stuff. And made sure I got him sitting right up front, you know.
Right. I would have given him a chair. I would have brought a chair on stage and let him sit on stage.
Yeah. So, you know, that was how I first met him.
Yeah.
And then later in the night, I went up there, and he wasn't singing that night. He was just in the audience. And,
right.
And I got off the stage, and you know, as I was walking back, he pulled me aside. He's like, hey, man, I didn't know you were going to get up there on stage and sing. I thought you were just some guy who was,
right,
you know, sitting people down. He's like, you really sing.
He thought you were an usher.
Yeah. But he really gave you a couple of great compliments on singing, and it really meant the world to me. You know?
Absolutely.
So that was really neat. And so that was when I first met him, and you know, I'd seen him over the years a few times, and when it was time to do this and I was going through some of the songs I had in my mind,
right,
boy, it would be great to do something with him. So,
right.
So we called him up, and he was glad to do it, and that was
well.
That was
he's going to listen to he's going to listen to this. So, is there anything you want to say to him?
Well, Gene, hey man, it's an absolute honor to be singing with you and have you on the record. And you know, whenever somebody asks me, I absolutely tell them it's been a huge highlight to do that and have the honor of having. You and me singing together on a song. So thank you so much, and I hope to see you soon.
Yeah, that's really cool, because I'm going to make sure that he hears this. As a matter of fact, I talked to Mary Garcelon today, his manager, and she doesn't know that we're doing this interview. So I'm as soon as I get it all constructed, I'm going to send her a copy.
Great.
Sincerely, right on the money.
Bop, bottle, bottle, bottle.
Bottle, 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 bottle.
Peace of mind could make you cry. This is what I'm feeling as I'm listening to each song and I'm going to myself, man.
As I stood and I looked at the sky, well, I saw such a wondrous light. It reminded me of a star. Down on my knees, and I pray that the Lord would end our evil ways. So you threw your loving arms around me.
Said to your father, in the old days, we'd go to hear impressionists like Rich Little or Frank Ocean or some of the other ones, and they'd go into their Burt Lancaster invitation or something like that, and the audience would sit there, and when he was done, they would either go, yay, thumbs up, or they would go, nah, he didn't nail it. Every song on this CD, please write, I'm listening, I'm going, yep.
Angels, oh angels, hear my plea. Speed my loved one back to me.
Please ride while you are away. I'm waiting for your letter each day. Please ride, please ride. Please ride. Tell me you're all right.
That's all I'm asking of you.
Darling, please die. Words I long to hear. When the lights are low, that's the time I know it's you that I adore. Darling, please say
yup, right down the line. And, you know, pretty much that usually doesn't happen. Even with very, very big groups, there's usually a couple of tunes that you consider throwaway tunes. You know, they got their A, B, and C tunes, which you lead with, and then the first one is great, and the last one knocks your socks off. But usually there's a couple of tunes on there, and they say, you know, they threw them in because, you know, they only, you know, it was the first take and yada, yada. Let me ask you this. Let's pick a song like Sincerely. How many takes did you do on that tune?
Boy, I don't really remember. You know, I don't remember how many takes. But, you know, as you're recording things, you know, you'll do a number of takes on them. And,
right.
You know, you'll pick some. It's not like it was, I'm sure, in the old days when everybody had to be live in a room and
right.
Everybody had to hit it just right.
If the drummer drops a stick, you start over. But nowadays, you know, the engineer can say to you, okay, give me that line again. You punch in.
Yeah.
And basically you can piece it together and get your very best vocal. Or if you sing a section that they like, you can cut it and paste it, you know,
You have the luxury of doing that, you know, and that enables you to concentrate maybe on a section or something. If you want to or whatever. And ultimately what happens is it can reduce the time, you know, that you're in there for, instead of, you know, you hear some of these things of you know, Elvis or whoever doing 50, 60 takes of a song.
Right.
How many hours do you want?
Oh, okay. I don't have to have it. Okay.
Just hold it up.
I got some. I'm all shook up.
Everybody's entitled to one stupid ass mistake.
You should have one in there, man. You should have one in there that you can use.
It's funny, Randy from the Rainbows. You know, Dominic, he's always considered, they used to call him One Take Randy, because he would go in there, he hardly ever did a song twice. He'd go in, he'd nail the lead vocal, and then he would go next, and he had that ability to do that.
Hi, this is Randy Sofuto of Randy and the Rainbows, and you're listening to my good friend Mike Miller on the Harmony Street Show. Mike, love you.
Love you too, man. There were other groups where, even with big singers, you know, sometimes 15, 16 takes. I was talking to one of the Chantels the other night, and she said on some of their big hits, they did as many as like 25, 28 takes on some of those tunes, where by the end of the night, they were nuts.
No, absolutely. I know, you know, that's the way often it was. And, you know, keep in mind, you got to have a lot of different things that have to be exactly right. It's never going to be absolutely perfect. But,
right.
You know, even if you do things technically right, you know, the phrasing's a little different here or there. Maybe you like one a little better than another.
Right.
That kind of thing. So,
but you stayed basically in the pocket. I mean, you know, how many groups have you heard record in the still of the night? Tokens have done it. Everybody's done it. Harmony Street did it. This group did it. Everybody had a crack at that tune. But you stayed very much in the pocket with that tune. And, you know, you hear groups do that song, and even though it sounds simplistic, there are a lot of things going on in that song as far as chord changes, you know, and at the end of every passage, you know, it stays on that four chord and just goes up to the five chord, you know, for two beats. A lot of groups sing right through that, right down to the falsetto at the end, right down, you know, the way it opens up.
Held you tight.
I marvel at the fact that you were able to cop all that stuff. Now, did a lot of that feel come from you just naturally? Did Johnny Gale kind of lead you through that stuff, or was it just kind of a meeting of the minds?
I would say it was probably mostly a meeting of the minds, but I would say, you know, that's a great song, obviously. That's one where, you know, we thought, if we're going to put this on the record, it's got to sound good, because
right.
it's the classic of classics, you know?
Right.
And you can't just have something that's in any way mediocre, you know, so we really wanted to try to do a real nice job with it. And vocally, I think, you know, I had in mind the way I wanted to approach it, which was very similar to the original. And I think musically, where Johnny wanted to be with it and me also was try to keep a rawness to it because,
right.
you know, it doesn't need to be super polished or obviously it's got to be right and on the money, but you know, there's that certain kind of rawness to it in the sound of it.
Oh yeah. I mean, you know,
That makes it special, you know, and if you take some of that away or sand the edges down on it, so to speak, then I think it takes away from the song. So I think that was an important part of it. You know,
and the history of the song is that it supposedly was recorded in the basement of a church in Connecticut, you know, on a tape recorder, and it does have a certain rawness to it, but that's the beauty of it. And a lot of these songs, I mean, you know, Peace of Mind is a song that, you either do that song or you don't. I mean, there's no middle of the road with that song. You either cop it or you don't. Maestro has done that song with The Bridge, you know, and done it flawlessly because he was a perfectionist. And your version was pretty close to perfection as well, as far as the harmonies and everything. Let me ask you about the vocals. Now, when I first listened to it, I wasn't sure which background vocals were you overdubbing and which background vocals were group vocals.
Well, I honestly don't remember on all of them who was who and where and all that kind of thing at this point, but some of them are mine, overdubbing. A lot of them are Johnny. Believe it or not,
right.
he's got an excellent, you know, he's known as a guitar player. He's got an excellent voice too. He's very,
right.
He's got a great range and stylistic range also. So
right.
He can do different things. So a lot of them are him on there. And, there's also a couple of the other guys. I think Johnny Barlow's on a couple of them and I'd have to take a look even to see who was on them. But there's probably two or three guys on them, you know, depending on the song, of course.
Right. And the a cappella tracks, now let me ask you, did you record those songs separately a cappella, or did you just wipe the music tracks?
Those were, they're actually the same versions as with the music. Just with the music removed.
As I stood and I looked at the sky, there I saw such a wondrous light. It reminded me of a star I had left. I fell down on my knees and I prayed that the Lord would end our evil ways. So you threw your loving arms around me.
peace of mind, peace of mind when you gave me peace of mind when you saved me peace of mind. Oh, you gave me,
well, you gave me peace of mind.
Which is interesting because that's the way I would do it too. You know, years ago when we had to do a cappella, I would actually record the a cappella to a guitar track and a click track. Because as you know, when groups sing a cappella, almost always if you have a lot of energy, you'll tend to either speed up, or if you run out of gas by the end of the tune, you're about a half tone under where you started. And if you listen to most a cappella albums, you know, strictly pure a cappella, and you put a pitch pipe on it, you'll see that a lot of the tunes start out in, let's say, in G, and they end up in F sharp.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah, because they're not paying attention to, like, where they are. They're singing a cappella like they did on the street corner, and they're pretty much not paying attention.
As far as the a cappella thing goes, it's tough to do stuff a cappella and, to do it exactly right on the money from start to finish without having a kind of a guide that way, whether it be tempo with that click track, like you said, or some kind of a musical instrument there that's keeping you honest.
Right.
It's definitely tough. But with these two, I think the way those happened were we weren't intending to do that, but we had, we're listening to them without music and just thought, wow, these sound really neat. You know, why don't we put them on there as a couple bonus tracks?
Right.
That's pretty much how it happens.
Exactly. If you want more coverage with these tunes, you can always send the two a cappella tunes to Collectibles or, whatever, and have them include them in a compilation. They'd be thrilled to do that, most likely. And, more people will know who Dennis Dougherty is,
Yeah.
I would do something like that because, to me, it's all about, the creativity of it and everything else. And of course, I'm surprised that certain people haven't bootlegged it already, but, that might have happened already as well, because a lot of guys out there bootlegging stuff. I'll bet you dollars to donuts that somebody's selling this CD in Japan having bootlegged it.
Is that right? You think so?
Absolutely. Good CDs.
That's when you know you've made it.
When somebody bootlegs your stuff. Names. I'm not going to mention any names, but there were guys that are famous for that in this business. They bootleg it and they put it out and they say, what are you going to do to me? It's like, you're going to spend money to hire a lawyer, and they just do what they do. So you had fabulous players on this thing. Your head must have been spinning with this thing, man, going into this saying, oh man, I'm
I was very, very blessed to be able to work with all the guys.
Absolutely. Who would not like to be surrounded by all of these people and have this project? That's why when I first heard it, and as a matter of fact, the one that originally said to me, you got to get a hold of this CD, I think was Abe Middleman. From AB's Doo-Wop Taxi. He called me up and he said to me, I need you, you must hear Dennis's CD and whatever. And I called your father and he sent me one, and I've been staring at it for quite a long time. And every time I put it on, I listen to it and I say, this CD needs to get more attention. Why isn't it? I don't know how much airplay you're getting on the oldie stations, because I haven't followed it, but I hope that you are.
Well, I certainly, appreciate the kind words and, getting the word out is something that, that we need to consistently do. And, I appreciate that you like the CD so much. And,
no, I do.
We definitely wanted to come up with something that we felt, was something that people would enjoy listening to and that, whenever I heard it or any of us heard it, we would be, we'd be happy with it. And thankfully, I would say I'm happy that I really feel we did that. We do feel good about it. But nevertheless, boy, it's not easy, kind of getting the word out, but with, help of you and guys like you who kind of, get behind it and tell other people about it and play it on the station, boy, that's a huge help and that's how it gets out there. I can tell you that a number of the stations who do have it,
right.
they really seem to enjoy playing it and put it in the rotation and
right.
get real good response out of it. So,
does Bobby B, does Cool Bobby B have it?
He does have it.
Good. Good.
And talking to him, he said he plays it and, he said people call up on it and so on.
All right. I know.
Yeah, so that's real good.
Well, I'm going to make sure, this show goes out to a lot of different stations and I have access to an awful lot of DJs, a lot of them who listen to my show. So, I will make sure because, I finally, and believe it or not, things happen when they're supposed to happen. And I was just, in the morning, just going through a bunch of CDs that I have, next to my desk in my studio, and I looked at this CD and I said, well, wait a minute. I said, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to take Dennis's CD and I'm going to play the whole CD. And then I thought to myself, why not just call up Dennis and have him talk about it? Because nobody is closer to this CD than you are. That's the whole package.
That's cool. I'm glad it worked out that way, Definitely glad to be able to be on the show,
well,
Mike, and talk to you about this stuff. I've kind of been very thankful that we've been able to do some real nice gigs over the course of the last couple of years.
Right.
Not a lot of quantity, but thankfully some good quality but I'm looking to ramp that up a little bit here in the coming months. But the next gig I'm going to be that I've got scheduled isn't until the Hop Hog show.
Right. That's Albanese's show.
Right, that's the Lars show.
Yeah. Now I'm going to tell you a story about Rob Albanese. Harmony Street was the first group ever to set foot on a stage for an Albanese show. It was at Queens College years ago. There were about 15 groups. Lou Christie closed the show in Harmony Street. I think it was at Colden Hall at Queens College, and it was his very first show, and we were the opening act. So, we have a lot of history with him, and whenever he's down here, he always says to me, hey, do you and Paulette want two tickets, come see the show. So, he's been a good, Rob and Laura have been good friends over the years, so I want you to do me a favor. When you do that show, certainly go up and say to him, Mike Miller says hello.
I'll make sure next time I see him, I'll probably see him at some point before that. But, I'll definitely tell him that.
He'll smile because, he puts on some big extravaganzas, It's a big undertaking when you do that because I've produced shows before, too, and it's just it's a huge undertaking. You tear your hair out.
Yeah,
you really do because it's on you, and people only buy tickets like the last week. You could be half sold out, and all of a sudden, the last 4 days, that's when everybody buys the tickets.
Yeah. So until then, you're sweating it.
Oh, you're sweating it, because you got all these people depending on you. It's just a fabulous CD, and I think more people should get to hear it, Dennis. And I know your father was very proud of you.
I certainly appreciate his backing and his kind of giving me a love for the stuff and
right.
All the encouragement for it. It's
well,
definitely wouldn't happen without that. And also wanted to say that in general, music's something I've loved from being a little kid. And you talk about looking at the smiles on people's faces.
Right.
I've always believed music is a gift from God.
Right.
And I'm not talking about, talent necessarily or
right.
Anything like that, but just in general music.
And, oh, yeah.
It's something that I think, it's something that we should be using if we can participate in making it or, we should feel good about it and join it because it's definitely something that I think it's a gift.
Sure. Well, it's funny because, when I was 15, 16, whatever, I was the only Jewish guy that hung around with the Italian and the Irish guys, and sang doo-wop on the corner. and did that kind of thing. You know, my other friends weren't interested in that stuff, but I hung, and we had a group called the Islanders years ago. We were on Relic Records, and we did the best of a cappella, and basically the group was all Italian and Irish except for me. So,
great.
You know, and that was the story. Dennis, I really want to thank you for taking our time. I know you had a long day today, and want to thank you. And I'm glad that I caught up with you finally so that you could talk about this great CD. Records were meant to be played, which is very, very true. And all the cuts on this CD are fabulous. And I thank you for recording it, because it really is a credit to the genre. And you have my thanks.
Well, thank you very much. It means a lot coming from you, and I do appreciate it. Thank you for having me on the show. It was great talking with you about it. So thank you.
I'll talk to you later.
Okay, Mike.
All right.
Hey, have a good night.
You
Take
too,
care.
Dennis. Bye.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
If you want this love of mine, treat me gentle, treat me kind. Don't be mean and don't be bad, and you'll get the truest love that you ever had. If you want my lips to kiss, cuddle close and don't resist. Loving you is all I crave, and if you let me, pretty baby, I'll be your slave. If you want this love of mine, baby, come on and get it. If you should fall in love with me, I bet you'll never regret it. Not a thing I wouldn't do, I'd do anything just for you. Just let me know that you're really mine, because I want to love you till the end of time. Not a thing I wouldn't do, I'd do anything just for you. Just let me know that you're really mine, because I wanna love you till the end of time. I just wanna love you. Ooh, I just wanna love you. I just wanna love you.
Shoo-ba-da-bop, shoo-ba-da-bop, shoo-be-doo-be-doo. Shoo-ba-da-bop, ooh, shoo-ba-da-bop, ooh, shoo-ba-da-bop, ooh, shoo-ba-da-bop.
I won't cry anymore,
shoo-ba-da-bop,
now that I have you,
shoo-ba-da-bop.
I won't cry anymore. I won't be sad and blue, no more counting the tears that I've shed through the years. Now that I found you, I won't hurt anymore. Darling, can't you see you've at last put an end to all this misery. From my heartfelt sorrow comes a bright tomorrow. Now that I found you, the other night you told me that you could love me too.
Kiss me each morning for a million years. Hold me each evening at your side. Tell me you love me for a million years. If it don't work out, if it don't work out, then you can tell me goodbye. Sweeten my coffee with a morning kiss. Soften my dreams with your sigh. Tell me you love me for a million years. But if it don't work out, if it don't work out, then you can tell me goodbye. Go. I won't tell you no, just so that we can say we tried. Tell me you love me for a million years. If it don't work out, if it don't work out, you can tell me goodbye.
Hey, this is Mike Miller from the Harmony Street Show. One of my good, good friends in life is Stan Ziska from the Del Satins. Now, we know the Del Satins' history. The Del Satins backed up Dion on so many hits. And the Del Satins, Les Couchy and Freddie Ferraro, went on to sing with Johnny Maestro for oh so many years with such fabulous success. Well, the Del Satins of today are better than ever. Tommy Ferrara, Stan Ziska on lead, Les Couchy, and with the wonderful soprano tones of Edie Van Buren. I've sung on stage with them, and I am so proud of them. They're working on a new project right now, a brand new CD. Here is an offering from that CD. As you know, Johnny Maestro also sang with the Del Satins. Rest in peace, Johnny, and rest in peace, Freddie Ferrara. I know you'd be proud of this tune. This is the Del Satins with that fabulous Flamingos tune, Mio Amore. Just close your eyes and listen. What a fabulous rendition.
Mio Amore,
take my lips and a kiss there.
Take my love,
take my hands and hold them.
I am yours, my love, till the end of time.
take my arms, let them hold you.
Take my love,
take my eyes, let them show you.
I am yours, my love, till the end of time.
Till the end.
Till the end.
Till the end. Never run cold.
I am yours, my love, till the end of time.
Till the end.
Till the end.
Till the end.
So with you,
I'll
so
sing.
I'll go my lonely
true to you.
and you're listening to my good friend Mike Miller on the Harmony Street Show.
Well, you know, Brother Mike, how's everything going?
I'm doing great.
If you love me the way our friends say, and tell me tomorrow, tell me today. If you still feel the same, oh, well,
oh, yeah,
hey, tell me tomorrow, tell me today.
Hey, this is Mike Miller. I'd like to say goodbye from Harmony Street.
Open up your heart. Recall how it used to be. Remember all the love we found.
Ooh. On Harmony Street, ooh, there was a place
we
that we used to go. When we were feeling down
and
we were low, we looked into each other's eyes about the road that led us to
Harmony Street.
We couldn't believe our eyes when we were there. Wasn't it a big surprise to find we really cared? We looked into each other's heart and found the road was free and clear to Harmony Street. Yes, there were times when we had it all figured out. Then there were times when we both had our doubts. But through it all, you know, our love was complete. We spent all our time on Harmony Street. We couldn't believe our eyes when we were there. Wasn't it a big surprise to find we really cared? We looked into each other's eyes and found the road that led us to
Harmony Street.
Yes, there were times when we had it all figured out. And there were times when we both had our doubts. But through it all, you know, our love was complete. We spent all our time on Harmony Street. Somehow we found our love drifting away. There was nothing I could do, nothing to say. We looked into each other's eyes and found a lonely thoroughfare on Harmony Street.
Open up your heart, recall how it used to be. Remember all the love we found
on Harmony Street.
Open up your heart, recall how